It is April 1st. What an appropriate day to have Tech Talk and a CSUN wrap-up all in the same hour. In the Pat Price Tech Talk training room, I'm Larry Gassman, co-chair of Accessible World and Tech Talk. And we're going to look at CSUN, all of us. And to chair this a little bit and to talk about what's happening and ask some of his friends to actually join him, here's John Gassman.
All right, thank you. And this was the 39th CSUN. I haven't been to all of them, but a lot of them. Next year's will be a couple of weeks earlier. It'll be March 10 to March 14. So start making your plans. I will tell you that, of course, since the pandemic, the last few years, the numbers have been way down. They were pretty good last year, but not like what we'd seen pre-pandemic. But this year, we were kind of back to normal. There were people there every day of the week, and there were large crowds, at least in the exhibit hall. I don't know what the presentation rooms looked like, but my guess is that with more people in the exhibit hall, there were probably a lot of people there in the presentation room. I normally go every day for the entire week, but this year we had another convention that had been planned that same week, so I was only able to go one day, and it turned out to be that Wednesday. And did what I normally do, got a chance to say hi to friends and meet people I hadn't met before. This year also, we went, a bunch of us got together Monday night for dinner in the one of the restaurants at the Anaheim Marriott. So that was a lot of fun. Sat around and talked for a couple hours.
About technology and chatted. Mm-hmm. And it was fun. Lots of fun.
And then after Wednesday night's exhibit hall, or Wednesday during the day of the exhibit hall, then most of us got together again and had dinner, and that was a lot of fun. So it was an eventful week. We're going to talk about a lot of different subjects. And
who's we?
I was just about to introduce everybody.
Well, I figured you would, but I just wanted to put a little reminder in there.
Yeah. Okay. Michael Babcock, who everybody knows from doing his podcast, and Mike has been on our show before with Tech Talk events. He was there all day, more than one day, I think. Marty Sobo was there, and Marty's been with us on Tech Talk and Main Menu many times and does a lot of work with Michael on the Unmute podcasts. And then, of course, Steve Bauer has been with us just about every year for the last century here on Yesterday USA, and he always has... He gets to see a lot of stuff that we don't get around to, especially Braille. I didn't get a chance to see too much in the way of Braille, but Steve did. So Steve has a lot to talk about. And if you were at CSUN, when it comes time to interact with us, we hope you'll put your hand up and talk about some of the things that you saw at CSUN in the Anaheim Marriott. I was there, and I saw Envision with their smart glasses. By the way, if you're a company, you had better go to AI this year. Otherwise, you're going to be left way behind. Everybody's going to AI with their products. So Envision, for example, has the AI assistant. And you literally can build a voice. You can pick from a number of voices that they have, and you can take a look at personality, and he'll talk back to you or she'll talk back to you in whatever personality you pick. And you can ask them questions, and then you can follow up with questions. This is a part now of the Envision app. It may eventually spin off and be its own app when they officially release it. Right now, it's pre-beta, which means that they are really just letting it get out there. And they have about 100 people testing it right now.
And by the way, applications were for another 100 beta testers to get involved. So they were opening beta for more. And their expectations were far exceeded when well over 100 people asked to be part of the beta team. And they stopped it after a while because they said, we can't have any more. You got... well over 100 who have asked for it to be on the team. So this is going to take off greatly, especially when they get a chance to open it up to the private beta.
Yeah, and you could sign up while you were at CSUN, and they'd put you on the list. A lot of us are already testing it.
It's closed already, and, again.
It's closed for the moment, but they will reopen it. The problem is that they've only got so much bandwidth. So at least that's what I was told. So that's why they're closing it. I think that's also why the Ira virtual assistant is slowly being rolled out, because of the same situation. But and I don't know how many people they can have on there at one time, but they're testing an assistant as well. And both of those have been demoed, I think, on Jonathan Mosen's program. So if you want to hear what they sound like, I don't know whether we'll do that tonight. We'll see how it goes. But another thing that that I saw was the Glidens, and we had Amos Miller on with us last week. But we may go ahead and run about a 6-minute interview that Michael did with him. I recorded for an hour with my brand new Zoom H4 Essential, and then had not checked to make sure that it was working properly with a headset in advance, and it wasn't. One of the mics got disconnected, and I got nothing but static for an hour. But luckily, Michael got a nice recording.
You got more than static from some of us, too.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think what we'll do quickly is run the 6-minute interview that Michael did with Amos.
Aren't you going to say hi to everybody and let them at least to do?
We will.
Yeah, okay. I just want to make sure.
We'll bring everybody in afterward. Okay. We'll bring everybody in after this one, and then we'll talk about other stuff and just interact and so forth. But first, here is Michael and Amos Miller from CSUN.
Hey, Amos. You are here with Glide. Give people a real quick summary of what is GlideX.
Glidance is a new company. I'm the CEO of Glidance, and we are building Glide. And Glide is a self-guided mobility aid for people with sight loss. So it's a new mobility aid. Alongside our cane, alongside our guide dogs, we now have Glide.
Now, is Glide to replace a cane or a guide dog, or do you see it working in conjunction with a cane or guide dog?
I see it as a primary mobility aid. But I can also imagine people using, you know, somebody who has a dog will use Glide on some occasions, sometimes the dog, sometimes a cane. People who use canes can use Glide as well. You could use Glide in one hand and just use a symbolic cane or a cane to tap around if you want to check things out. So, you know, people will figure out how to make best use of it. But it is a primary mobility aid. It's not an addition that gives you a little bit extra information. It actually guides. It's physical. It's on the ground. It steers the way. That's what Glide is.
In full transparency, I just got done with my demo of it, and my mind is blown. I'm ready for this to come out. I texted my wife and said, we need to figure out how to buy one of these. So when do you guys expect it to be out?
So we are going to start taking pre-orders in this spring. We don't have the date yet, so I encourage people to go to glidance.io, sign up so that they get the information, and then we will get the beta later this year and start to ship pre-orders in early 2025. So people who register now and pre-order the device will start to receive them, we hope, in the first half of 2025.
And you guys were talking to us about Zoom calls that you're hosting on a monthly
basis. That's right. Yeah, this is the most exciting part of our work, is to really to engage with folks and hear all the feedback, ask all the questions, really challenge us, because this is a real important device, I think. And so we hold monthly Zoom calls with anyone. Anyone can register and join the calls. We talk about what we're working on. We take lots of questions. They have interesting discussions in the community, like questions like, you know, how do we expect the public to respond to this? How do this is a new mobility aid, and we have to really ask ourselves, you know, what does O&M training mean? You know, can somebody buy this on Amazon without having O&M training first? All these questions are super important, so we do those on our Zoom calls.
Does Glidance give you the ability? So I live in a fairly rural area. At this time, can it follow along a street edge by chance?
Yes, it can.
Okay.
Absolutely.
That is cool. That right. So you don't have to use a cane to trail along that edge.
No.
You can just use Glidance to travel along it.
Yeah, I was just showing somebody earlier on today how to do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I've got maybe two more questions for you. Number one, where did the idea of Glidance come from?
It's a great question. I've worked for many years on various technologies. I worked at Microsoft for many years and Soundscape. So some of your listeners will be familiar with Soundscape.
Yeah.
I'm blind myself, it's fair to add. I lost my sight and retinitis pigmentosa, and I use a guide dog. So it's kind of a blend of my experiences. And when I ask myself the question, you know, we still have a lot of people out there who are not confident travelers. They use a cane, but they still will take a sighted assistant anytime they possibly can get it. And I felt that from all the experience I've had is that the information that we get from wearables and so on is great, but for someone who really isn't confident out and about, they need something that is physically connected to the ground and guides. Mm. So I started to explore that a few years ago, tested it with a whole bunch of people just to see if it actually works, if the idea works. Can you be guided by something like that? Proved very promising, tested it with more people, asked lots of questions, and concluded that this is that we have something meaningful here. So that's we set up Glidance a year ago to get this, yeah, to get this to the hands of people.
Gotcha. And the last question, which you already know what it is, what are we looking at for pricing?
So we have not announced pricing yet.
Okay.
But the ballpark that I'm giving people is, think about it in the terms of what it costs to own a cell phone.
Like a higher end cell phone?
Cell phones, it's both the cost of a device, but also possible subscriptions for different types of features that you might want. So for example, people who will use it in and around their home, and maybe in the immediate neighborhood that they are totally familiar with, is kind of, or maybe they are beginners and just need one or two routes,
mm-hmm.
will probably have a very basic subscription or service pack. And somebody who travels the world like you, goes through airports and hotels, and needs a lot more,
right,
from the AI and the device capability. The device capabilities may value some of their features and be willing to take on a higher service pack.
Can the camera data be sent into a mobile phone so you could use a service and someone could see what Glidance is seeing?
We are definitely working on that, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, that's the ballpark of pricing, and we'll be more specific on pricing when we open it for pre-orders in the spring. Of course, with a big discount. So
yes,
we encourage people to register, sign up with us so that they know when it opens, and come in and show us and show their investors and everybody that the community really wants this device.
And if I'm registered for the Zoom events, if I go get registered for the Zoom events, then I'll know about that pre-order opportunity.
You will, most definitely.
Perfect. Well, thank you, Amos. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you
lot.
For enjoying the device.
Yeah.
Thank you for being here and helping us spread the word.
Definitely. Chris, real quick, I'm going to grab you. What was your initial thought?
I absolutely love it. I want one. I almost cried. It was fantastic. And I was able to move through the crowd. And I love the micro movements, micro adjustments. It gave me confidence in the device because the little tiny movements that it made to keep me on the straight line and from running into people or whatever, it was amazing. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
You made me shiver.
Now, a lot of people told me, and I've been a cane user for all my life, but a lot of people told me that it reminded them, the demo reminded them of what it was like to use a dog, because it has the same type of haptics. And I've had a little experience walking with people who have had dogs, but I've never used a dog on my own. I will tell you also really quickly that they had they have monthly meetings on Zoom to talk about the progress of the device. They had one last Wednesday, which I attended, and it was really interesting. So the best way to get in touch and to stay in touch is to go sign up at Glidance, that's GLIDANCE.io, and they'll send you Zoom links. That was recorded on the brand new Zoom H1, did a nice job with the built-in mic, so that's why you heard a little popping of the peas there. There wasn't a windscreen on it yet, but they do have windscreens for that one, and I don't think they have, last time I checked, they had not released them for the H4 and the H6, but that'll be eventually it'll happen. Nice recording, and thanks to Michael for providing that to us again. And I saw the Blazy Braille and Speak, And but I'm going to wait on that one, because others saw that in two and probably can do a much better job of describing that than I could. But I got a chance to demo that one, and of course the Envision, which I'm beta testing, Ira, which I'm now beta testing. The only one I wanted to, there were a lot of other things I wanted to see. I didn't get a chance to see WeWalk, the new AI version, but I know that they had that available. I don't know if anybody else here on our panel has seen that. So why don't we go ahead and invite Michael or Marty or Steve up to talk about what they saw at CSUN. It's tough to see everything in one day, that's for sure. But
I can definitely say that the lowest, well, I shouldn't say low tech, but probably the one thing that was really cool and really innovative that really wasn't new technology was what Be My Eyes did. And for those who don't know, they had a big announcement at CSUN. And what they did was they implemented all of the accessibility phone numbers for all these big companies we can never find the phone numbers for, Apple, Microsoft, and I think they're up to about 300 plus, and they're adding more all the time. So if you need to find an accessibility number, you can find it probably within the Be My Eyes app. And I thought that was one of the most ingenious things that happened without new technology. It was just, I'm surprised nobody's done this up until now. So yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
I haven't checked it in about 3 weeks. There wasn't a whole lot in there when I first checked it, but I should go back now and do it again now that time has elapsed and there's likely to be more in there. So
yeah, and they're adding more all the time, and they have a big group of people who are out there helping them add phone numbers as well. So they say they're going by areas and where you're located, plus all over the place and big companies. So yeah, they're making some good progress with that.
That's a part of the regular Be My Eyes, Be My AI app, right? It's not a new app.
They say they're not charging for it. It's going to just be a part of the app.
So if you have the app, you might check to see if that tab on the bottom of the screen is available for you. So
they say that if it doesn't show up for you within an update, then you could delete the app and then re-download it, and that should make the tab pop up if it's not already there for you.
Good, good. I know there's a lot of stuff for NFB and ACB and all your major companies, technology companies, should be in there at some point. Whether they're in there yet or not, you know, we'll have to check to see. But slowly but surely, they're getting them out there. Marty, while we have you here, did you see anything else that really piqued your interest or that you thought was really, really pretty cool?
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff. I'm going to save the Braille stuff because we have someone who really knows all that stuff. There was a really cool intersection app called Ocho, which helps you cross intersections more safely, which I thought was really cool. It doesn't help you make sure to not step in the street when that person's coming zooming through the right-hand turn on you without slowing down or stopping. So you still need to use the flow of traffic skills that you would have. But I only got to use it within their little fake intersection that they had in there just to kind of see how it worked. But Michael's had a lot of experience with it, and he's actually got to test it out in real-life intersections. So maybe he can talk about his experience with that a little bit.
You're talking about Oco?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, they've been around. They've been to a couple of CSUNs, so they've been into the shows as well. So they've had a chance to demonstrate it, and and I know some of our, like Myrna here on our group has used it as well. So it's been around for a year or two, but it's a popular app, and available. The app is available in the App Store as well. What else did you see that you might want to mention?
There was a couple companies doing this, but what they do is they make your documents accessible. So if you have a document that you need to be turned into an accessible document, which means, for example, having all of the text questions and whatever important information kind of locked down and legible with a screen reader, and then you can fill in all of the sections. So the only place it allows you to type is the sections that they want you to fill in, and at the end you can save it and submit it. Or then if you're the person who owns a document, you need to give it out to lots of people, you can reuse it over and over again. And the cool thing was they work with people who are individuals all the way up to big corporate companies and everything in between. So I thought that was a really cool service, because a lot of people need to have documents accessible. they don't know how to do it or don't have the means to do it. So this is kind of a cool thing. I feel like it's a great service for people who may need that service.
Good, good. Yeah, they're those companies are there every year doing new innovations of their product. So anything else that we should take a look at, maybe in that was at CSUN and may also be at the summer shows?
IRA, that was another one. They came mm-hmm. out with this new, it's all, of course, AI, but it identifies images. And this is a new thing they announced. And it'll basically be a tab in there. And you use that tab to use your camera to identify an image or a document. And if it doesn't do a good job with that, or it doesn't do exactly what you think it should have done, then you can contact a live person who could come on and help you tell you exactly what it is that you're trying to figure out there. And they say that they're not charging at all for that. That's going to be a free feature, and they're not charging for the use of that. So that's pretty cool if you have something like that that you need to help identifying.
Right. Yeah. They have been on several podcasts recently talking about that app as well. So that is a beta currently. And so it's not been rolled out to everybody yet, but it will be eventually. But they're still doing a lot of beta testing with it. So I know that they talk about it. And Janine did a demo of it on the IraCast podcast. They've been on Jonathan Mosen's podcast. I think Double Tap has had them on as well. So they've been around promoting the app. So in the event that you are a listener to any of those podcasts, you may want to tune in. There are probably some other ones too that I'm not remembering.
I'll jump in here real quick.
Yeah,
One of the things that I found was, this is Michael, by the way. One of the things that I found was at the Dream Vision group booth, and it was, I think the manufacturer was Handytech, and they have the active braille cells in their displays. And I am not musically inclined 1%, not at all. Don't put a piano in front of me because I will make people run out of the room. But I did find it really intriguing that they had braille music on these displays. And as you rang your finger over the notes, it would play audibly a representation for that note. So if it was a D, then you would hear what that sounded like audibly. And that was pretty cool. They also talked about being able to connect the displays to a single braille display or to a monitor remotely. So that way the instructor teaching individuals how to read the braille or what to do on the displays would have a clear understanding of what the students/users of the displays were doing. So you can know, A, if someone was off playing a game, or B, what letter someone was struggling with. And it sounded like all that was accessible to both the instructor and the student too.
Really nice. I did not get a chance to visit them, but you know, in the past for me, learning braille music, it just took more time than I wanted to give it. It was quicker for me just to memorize stuff. But this sounds like this would be a great way to learn music. I might eventually memorize it, but to have that new way of doing it is interesting.
And another thing they brought up is, if you're teaching someone Braille and they're struggling with these displays because they can tell where your finger is on the line of Braille, there's a command you can press to have that specific letter or that specific word read out to you using your text-to-speech screen reader as well.
Wow. If they're at the summer shows, I might go visit them because that's an interesting concept that I wasn't aware of. So I'll have to take a look at that. What else did you see that you want to talk about?
I just sent you an interview that I had with him as well.
Probably good.
Not worth redistributing because there was a bit of pops, but you know, just taught me that I need to get that windscreen for that.
Yeah, these recorders are really good, but they do need windscreens, all of them.
Yes, yes.
But they do make nice recordings.
Also got to check out the new ARX headset. That is a bone conducting headset that has a camera that lies against your temple on the right side that faces forward. And they have announced a partnership with Microsoft Seeing AI to do text interpretation and product identification. So that was pretty cool. There was... some other individuals, we at AT Guys sell the Versa Slate from Overflow, and I really liked being able to go and see Overflow at CSUN as well and check out their, they call it the Versa Memo and Versa Paper. And these, this is a plate and a paper that's cut out a specific way that you can attach to the back of the Versa Slate, which is the paperless slate in Stylus, and then be able to actually use the Versa Slate to write Braille on the paper and the memo. So that was pretty cool to see. I also met with Swarenson, who brings sign language interpretation to individuals who might need it using an app-like service, kind of like Aira, but for the hearing impaired. And they've partnered with Starbucks and Marriott to provide free services in those locations as well.
Very nice. I should mention before I forget that I did go to the Orbit booth, and they announced today, by the way, that they hope to have the Orbit speak out in June before the show, so we'll see what happens with that. I saw the Optima. Adi was there from Israel, and they are now getting back to work on it now that things have kind of quieted down a little bit in Israel, and he showed me the new updates to the Optima, which basically have been... it's a lot lighter than the previous one last year, and they are working with a couple of different Braille cells. The one that they think they're eventually going to use is, or the one that a lot of people are going to like, is the same similar ones that HIMSS has, and that the Braille Sense and some of the and HumanWare, some of those have, so that the cells are quieter when you type. So I did see that Optima, and they will be showing that again during the shows, but they don't expect it to be available until at minimum third quarter of this year. So maybe by the end of the year, they hope to have it available. They have not had any pricing released yet. So they're still working on it and made some hardware changes, and they're going to be doing a lot more software changes. And I'm hoping that we'll have them on Tech Talk again before everything is released, and they can give us more of an idea in terms of what it may eventually look like. Anything else, Michael, that you want to mention?
Well, I'm sure Steve might mention this. I don't know if he played with it at all, but I did
get to put my
hands on the Q40 and the Q20 from Orbit, and I'm really intrigued by those. I have not put hands on the Mantis display, so I can't compare those, but they were doing some experimentation to say, hey, which keyboard do you relate to better? And for me, I related to the Q40's keyboard because it reminded me a lot of the Logitech MX keys. But that is a 40 and 20 cell display that has a QWERTY keyboard on it, and very easy to feel that you can connect to, I believe, up to five different devices.
Going to be very interesting to see what type of a competitive situation we'll have with Blazy versus Orbit in terms of their new devices, because they do a lot of the same things, but it comes down to a personal decision as to which one you want to buy. Certainly the Blazy is going to be a lot less money wise, but interesting. So we'll see what happens there. And if you have anything else, Michael, just jump right in. Steve, do you have anything that you would like to talk about specifically with regard to what you saw at CSUN?
Well, I did spend quite a bit of time at the Orbit booth. I'm glad that Michael mentioned the Q20 and the Q40, because I didn't actually spend much time with them. I think they will take off. I've been amazed at how many people have been going for the Mantis. And for me, it's not my thing, but I recognize a lot of folks are into that, so those devices might be pretty interesting. What really did intrigue me that they had was their, I believe it's called the Braille Slate 340 and the Braille Slate 520, As you might imagine, it's a 3-line 40-cell display or a 5-line 20-cell display. It doesn't really, I mean, to me, it has a lot of promise, but it's going to require the screen readers and other folks to really jump in and make this, you know, some partnerships to make these things work. But if you could, you know, say for not so much graphics, because there are other devices that'll do graphics better, but, you know, for anything that's superscript or things you want to see in a line, he was talking about, you know, looking at your iOS device on one line and your PC on another line, or maybe a text that you're writing, which, you know, I would love right now as I'm reading notes off my single line display. I'd love to have another line next to me with the computer or something, but it might be real interesting. They're using the traditional Orbit cell, so it does have that bit of noise in it. And the other thing that I really wasn't counting on, but I guess I should have expected, because the Braille cells are pretty wide, you're getting a display that has lines that are, you know, double space, basically. They're not single space. So it's the footprint of the device is wider than I expected, but, you know, could be interesting. And of course, they did have the Optima, which I was anxious to see. The cool thing that I thought about that I was not aware of is that they have now put the thumb keys, or the keys to move the Braille display around, on the front, as does HumanWare, so that you have thumb keys as opposed to keys on either end of the display. So different people like different things, but for me, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I like that. I forgot to mention it, but I like that too.
Yeah, yeah. And so, yeah, we'll be anxious to see what's happening with the Optima. Probably the most revolutionary product, and many of us saw it in Schaumburg last summer at ACB, but of course, HumanWare and APH are doing the Monarch, which is a 32-cell, is it 10 lines? It is basically mostly for graphics use. You can read Braille on it, but it's pretty expensive price. They haven't actually set a price. They're talking $20,000 probably. What they're doing is actually training TVIs before they get these things out in the market, so that when they're on the market and kids start using them, the TVIs will be able to teach them. And what's cool about that, I think, more than some other graphics things I've seen, is they're taking advantage of the APH graphics library, and you can actually search for, you know, whatever it is you might want. And I can't remember the number of graphics they have, but it's, you know, in the tens of thousands, I believe. And the advantage of that over using something like, you know, Dot Incorporated, just grabbing things off of the internet, is that these graphics have been designed to be read by feel. So they're designed for blind people. There's not too much information. And to me, as a guy that's not terribly good at graphics, they make a lot more sense than stuff that just comes off the internet that I check out. Again, the Braille, the lines, if you read text Braille on it, are a little farther apart. They're not quite double space. I'd say maybe space and a half, whatever. So the footprint is a bit bigger. But that might be great for, you know, kids that are just learning Braille and having difficulty staying on lines. And the capabilities they have to zoom in and zoom out, you can, you know, take a map of the U.S. and zoom in on California, and they've got, you know, a lot of controls on the device to accommodate that zooming. So coming to a school near you pretty soon, probably, pretty exciting. I did spend a little bit of time with Dot Incorporated. They've got a tablet that basically, as I said before, you can import images from, the internet or whatever. Didn't make as quite as much sense to me, but I'm not really a graphics guy. I mean, I didn't spend a lot of time with graphics when I was a kid. I've never seen, so somebody who's more attuned to that sort of thing might be more interested. Got a surprise that I wasn't really expecting from a company called Harpo, and they've done Braille pens in the past, and they now have the Braille Pen 24. And I don't know too much about it, or even what the price is going to be, but it is a super, super slim 24 cell braille display that's just really, really small and, you know, really, really narrow, and going to be excited to see as that develops. Hims was there. They had their new product is the eMotion. It's a 40 cell braille display. Frankly, it's has a very similar footprint to the Brilliant. As a former Q Braille owner, I was surprised at, you know, how much incredibly smaller it was. And, you know, has the typical Hims. Somebody mentioned that a lot of the things in the in their new e-reader are also, you know, the calendar and the clock and that sort of thing are also in the eMotion. It's priced right now at $100 less than the Brilliant, but I think if folks go for the eMotion over the Brilliant, the big thing is going to be the speech, because they did include synthesized speech in the device, which the Brilliant has very rudimentary speech, but this has, you know, a lot of different voices and that sort of thing. So it'll be interesting to see what Hims does with that. They said they were not going to do a 20 cell version, basically saying that there's enough free 20 cell displays out there from NLS that they didn't feel that was something they wanted to do, but the 40 cell did look pretty good. Of course, I saw the BT Speak Pro. By the way, the Pro is the only version now that's being sold. The 795 version is not. Not really a Braille capital B device, although it does have a Braille keyboard on it. And actually, when their booths were fairly close to each other, and they did say that the Harpo Braille Pen device would interface with the eSpeak, so you could, you know, buy an eSpeak and then buy a Braille Pen you know, presumably put one in your pocket, I guess, or whatever, and just have the Braille Pen reading Braille off of the eSpeak. So, yeah, a lot of things I didn't see, but that's what some of the ones I did. And I didn't get over to the Dream Vision group, so I definitely want to check them out in Jacksonville. That sounds really exciting. I've seen their displays before with Braille music and stuff, but I know they're improving things all the time as far as the responsiveness of the Braille cells and the business of teachers being able to see where a student's having trouble. That's really, really exciting. So, yeah, I think that's most of what I saw there as far as Braille. Of course, I saw, you know, check out the Glide like everybody else and some of the wearable devices that, which I wasn't impressed with. I didn't see the WeWalk, but they had some other wearable stuff that just, you know, I don't know, maybe you need to get time to get trained up on it to interpret what all the vibrations and stuff are doing, but I think I'll do better with my phone and my GPS than some of the vests and different things they had there. But a lot of the Braille stuff was really exciting.
And you figure by summer, there should be even more to see. So we'll have to take a look at that when we visit the conventions. Before we go to questions, Marty or Michael, anything else that you want to add?
I thought it was definitely super fun, really, to see everyone and get together and hang out. You know, we had a couple of good meals and hangouts. So really, that was super awesome to be able to do that. So yeah, it's not very often we can all get together in the same place and hang out and have a meal and some drinks. And so that was a really fun part of it. So anyone who could ever make it, you should try. It's really a fun time. The social aspect of it, aside from everything else, is really fun to be able to hang out with everyone and all the people you know and stuff.
Someone made the comment of, it's really nice to be able to sit down and just talk about this stuff and not have to explain yourself. And I think that was the clearest explanation of how the week was. This is my first season. Really appreciated it. And I will definitely be back for 40.
And we haven't even talked about the presentations. Now, the exhibit hall is free. You have to sign up for it, but it is free. Where the money is spent is if you buy the entire package for presentations, and then you have various companies and various individuals talking about various aspects of assistive technology. Vispero has one, Hims has one, NVDA has one, for example. IRA had a couple of presentations, Envision, and you pay for that, but you get a lot of interesting discussion. And usually I go to those, but I did not go this week because I only had one day. I also missed all of the various receptions. But Tuesday nights, they usually have a big reception for those who are attending the conference. And I don't know whether they, like last year, it was inside because it was cold and rainy. And so you had 400 or 500 people in this one area, and it was really tough to hear. So I don't know whether they extended that outside this year or not. I know Vispero had a reception and several other companies. Google was there this year, I think. Amazon was there. Microsoft was not. They have not been back since the pandemic.
Another thing that's really cool, I thought, was they also, a lot of the companies at a lot of those talks also announce new products, kind of like keynote style, mm-hmm. where they make big announcements of whatever new thing they're having come out or whatever new thing they're demoing for that period of time in that moment. So,
right. And then you can go out to the booth and take a look at it. I know Vispero didn't announce anything at the meeting, but of course, with the JAWS update in February, they brought out the AI for my mind just went blank here.
JAWS.
Picture Smart. AI. And so they had a lot of people at the booth when they were demonstrating that.
Mitch has his hand up.
Hey, guys. Great presentation. Mitch. Did any of you guys get anything new on the Victor Reader 3?
No, last I heard on the Victor Reader 3, they are working on an update, which they hope to have out, I think they said May. Either late April or early May, and that was about a month ago. And one of the key things they're fixing there is that the books would be downloaded alphabetically again, like they were on the 2, rather than just being dropped onto an SD card in any old place. That's kind of a frustrating situation because some of the books are not all together anymore the way they used to be alphabetically. So it's tougher to find stuff using the 3 than it was with the 2. But apparently they're going to fix that. And I know that there are other things that they're working on. I don't remember specifically what the other items are, but I'm sure when they get closer to releasing the new update, then they'll make a note of that and put all the new fixes out on their list. I know that they are working on Audible, and they hope to have, they're not sure if they're going to have that out with this update, but if it isn't out, I know that they are not going to wait till the following update. They'll release it as a single update on its own as soon as they can. So, because people have been waiting for a long time on it. So that's the latest I've heard. I have not checked the list in a while, so there might have been other information, but there will be some updates this spring and summer for the Victor stream.
Okay, Marcy, are you there?
I am. Hello, everybody. Great presentation. Did you guys get a price point on the Orbit Q40, and will AT guys be selling that one?
So I can't speak as to if AT guys will be offering the new Q line of products. All I can say is stay subscribed to the newsletter if you're not. Okay. And the prices are, and I believe it is $18.95 and $9.95 for the 40 and 20 respectively.
Okay. And when will they be out? Do we know?
They're targeting June.
June. Perfect. That was my question. Thank you. Oh, wait. And Steve, the Harpo Braille, does that work with the BT speak? Is that what? Because you were saying E speak, but did you mean BT speak?
I'm sorry. I'm getting my synthesizers and my devices confused. Yes, it works with the BT speak.
The BT
yes.
speak. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, Jane.
Yeah, okay. So there are two exhibit halls. I happened to go across to the other one, and I saw Sony had their accessible adaptive controller and for the PS5, and then they had their PS5 talking and their accessible Android TVs, and of course they also had some accessible, or there were tests, Procter and Gamble were trying to test out some accessible packaging for our personal items, such as you know, shampoos and personal health items, etc. And then Fieldum, a company based in South Korea, had bags. These were fairly large, a lot of pockets. Like, I don't know, I couldn't count the pockets, but they had Braille on some of their patches. And they also make bags for wheelchair users. Then I went over to, well, there was so much to see. I did test out the WeWalk. Their module seems to be in one, the cane handle now, instead of being a separate module. I thought it was a little bit heavy for me. They also had the Cadence tablet. It looks like a 3-line Braille display right next to the BT Speak, which I loved the keyboard on the BT Speak. And that's some of what I saw. And there's just too much of, I can't remember now, but yeah.
By the way, I should also mention, when I was looking at the BT Speak, I mentioned to them, and they've heard a lot about this from other people too, but when you type on it, it is pretty noisy. You definitely know you're typing on it, but they've been getting that reaction from a lot of people, so they are interested in potentially making that keyboard a little quieter. So we shall see what happens in future weeks, and maybe by the summer show, we'll see if the keyboard is a bit quieter. That would be nice. More questions?
Yes, a person with area code 951.
Anyway, has there been any discussion, with regard to the ARX headset being used with Ira? Because I wear hearing aids, and I don't think I want glasses. I just think it would be more secure using an ARX headset. Thank you.
Who was it that saw the headset? Was it Marty or was it Michael that saw
it? No, it was me. And it was Michael. I did not hear any more information about using it with Ira specifically. I did ask if it works with the Blind Child Classic 2, and the new ARX headset does. It's also wired, so it uses USB-C. So there wasn't any announcement about working with Ira, but hopefully that's something they're in the works with.
No, thanks. I'm trying to advocate for that. Thanks a lot,
Michael.
Everyone else.
Okay, Bobby Vinton.
About CSUN and about my Blind Shell Classic 2. Now, okay, I know it's 2 years old already. I understand, and I just got it back in February. However, my question is there going to be, did I get it too late in time? That's one question. And have they shown a Blind Shell Classic 3?
The answer is no.
And would it be, well, okay, that's one question. What about, did I get it too late in time?
I would say no as well. Blind Shell has not had any announcements about a Blind Shell Classic 3. There's been a rumor of a Blind Shell Classic 3 for the last 2 years, but as of right now, there is no information about a Blind Shell Classic 3, and they did not mention one at CSUN at all either.
Okay, Jessica.
I have a question and a comment. I didn't go to CSUN, but I was following the discussion on the Hymns Note Takers chat list about the Braille Emotion. I thought I should mention that the Brilliant, one thing the Brilliant does have that the Hymns displays, the Hymns Braille Emotion doesn't, is access to things like Bookshare, and Bard and NFB Newsline. So, so you have to transfer files from a different device to that device if you're going to read a book on that display.
Yeah, I'm sorry I didn't mention that. It strictly connects to computers and iDevices, and of course you can put an SD card slot in it, an SD card in it. I'm trying to remember if it has a USB port. I honestly can't remember, but no, there was definitely no, and I don't think they have any plans for doing any wireless connections to any book services like Brilliant does. So yeah, that is one huge difference that I neglected to mention.
So the Hoppo display, I hadn't heard anything about the Braille pen in years. I never actually saw one of those, but you said it's very slim. I'm just wondering how it compares as far as the footprint to something like the Brilliant, the 20 cell, if you've seen that.
I own one for a while and I have an e-reader. It's quite a bit narrower than the e-reader, the Brilliant 20, and I'm sorry I don't have dimensions and I'm terrible at things like that, but yeah, it is a lot. It's a huge difference, much, much narrower than those devices.
Huh. Probably also only connects to, a phone or computer.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Five USB and one, five Bluetooth and one USB connection.
Okay. Still sounds interesting. I always like to learn about the different Braille, products and stuff. So thanks.
Okay. Area code 518.
This is Mary Beth. And I just had a question. I didn't catch the name of the document converter. So I was just wondering what it was.
I cannot remember actually what the name of it is, but I do have their information, so I'll get that to Larry, and then he can pass that along to you.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. And how does it actually work? Is it software, or is it an actual hardware thing?
Actually, the way it works is it's a service, and so what you do is you contact them, and you send them whatever documentation that you have that you want to make accessible, go over whatever you want and how you want it. They actually do it and then send it back to you.
Before we wrap things up, Michael or Marty, do you guys want to talk a little bit quickly about Unmute in case people are interested in hearing more of your discussions of future assistive technology devices?
Sure. So every Tuesday we're live in the community. We do a tech call where people come and they ask their tech questions of any sort. So whether it's iPhone or Mac, Windows, and we've gotten all kinds of other stuff. So if you have tech questions, you can come to that and we can try and get your tech questions answered. And then we have shows that come out on Thursday, which is a different topic each week throughout the month. So we got a Braille show, we have a travel show, we have what's soon going to be JAWS tricks and tips, bunch of other things. Michael, you want to take it from there and talk about the rest of the stuff?
Sure. So we also have been publishing random things on Thursdays as well. So you'll want to check that out. And as Marty said, just search for Unmute Presents in your favorite podcast app and you'll find that and get access to all of those. And thanks to the entire Pat Price Tech Talk room for having us. Appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely. Also, we do have Club Unmute, which we're going to be starting a JAWS class, Introduction to JAWS, and that's going to be this Wednesday starting, and it's going to go for 4 weeks. And so if that's something that interests you, check out our website, unmute.show, or you can email us at feedback@unmute.show if you have any questions.
And I think Marcy's teaching that. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Good, good. Okay. All right. Thank you all for listening tonight. Larry, what's happening next week on Tech Talk?
Before that, did they give contact information in terms of how to find Unmute and the other shows?
Yep.
You did that already?
Your favorite podcast app or go to unmute.show.
Okay, good. I know that you do that all the time, but I'm so used to hearing it. I wasn't sure if I missed it or not. I wasn't sure.
Get that.
Yeah. And Steve Bauer, thanks so much for being with us. Good stuff as always. And you'll be interested to know that next week, Matthew Horsbull will be back with us again to talk about how to connect a Braille display. But I'll bet that he may get off into other things as well. He comes back about every quarter or so, and we do new things related to Braille, and we're really looking forward to that. So that's next week, and we'll ask him to stay up late in the UK, and he will join us on Tech Talk. I think that's it. Thank you, everybody, for this. It was a good hour, and we thank you so much for being with us and join us all next week on Tech Talk.